Lord, we are thankful for your grace or your mercy. We're thankful tonight that we can come before you and, Lord, we can have the confidence and trust that you will hear us. Lord, we're not speaking to the walls or the ceiling or to some piece of stone or wood. But Lord, we can trust tonight that we're speaking to the living God and, Lord, that you hear us and you desire to meet our needs. And so thankful for that tonight. Lord, pray that we might rejoice. And Lord, we're going to ask you to bless now our time as we go into your word. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're in the book of Proverbs tonight, in Proverbs in chapter 1. We're going to try to quickly go through what we covered last week to kind of get us back. When we do a continuing study, we kind of have to often do a little catch-up each time or a reminder, and then we'll get into it. But I'll try to be quick about that. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, we're not going to get to the notes yet. We're going to get to those after I kind of give this review here. We talk chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we find this, first of all, that the beginning of knowledge is this thing of the fear of the Lord. Being afraid of something, we talk about this, we've talked about these things, so I'm just going to go through them quickly. You say, "Well, I don't remember all that." That's okay. That's okay. I'm just going to try to get us going. So being afraid of something changes how we deal with it. Right? We talked about that before. When we're afraid of something, if we're afraid of getting burnt, we're going to be careful with it. Right? If we're afraid of doing wrong, we're going to be cautious. If I'm thinking that the police are watching me, I'm going to slow down on the road. That's why they put these empty cruisers out here, right? Right? I mean, so being afraid of something, you know, I'm not afraid of the cops, but I'm afraid of a ticket because it's going to cost me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying in a simple way, being afraid of something changes how we deal with it. So fear motivates me on how I handle the things that come up in my life. Fear motivates me. It motivates me to drive the speed limit, right? It motivates me to listen. If I'm somebody that needs insulin, I'm motivated to think by that to say I'm going to take that insulin or I'm going to watch what I eat. If there's other things that I do, you know, other things in our life that fear motivates us to in certain. When I say motivate, I'm not saying God's back there with a whip. I don't mean like that. I'm just saying fear on itself, it motivates us to change us. And so, listen, it's really this: the fear of the Lord is to consider that there's a God. It means that I'm going to consider Him. I'm not going to go through my life as it's just me and my own head, right? You ever get like that sometimes? You're just talking to yourself all day, and you're like, you know, I could have been talking to the Lord. And you realize, I'm just reasoning together with me, right? Which isn't together. Me, myself, and I don't count as your two friends. So here's this thing. He said, this thing is to consider Him. I'm thinking. By the way, I catch myself. I'm going. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm starting to like reason with myself. And then I think, oh, let me ask God. I embarrassed myself with that. I'm like, God, I'm sorry, God. I should have been talking to you instead of myself because I ain't got nothing new. Right? And so the fear of the Lord is really to consider God. The fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. So I'm not going to read all the passages we looked at. That was in Proverbs 9, 9 and 10, if you want to write that down for later. With the fear of the Lord, watch this, we prepare ourselves to receive God's wisdom. When we have the fear of the Lord, we're going to prepare ourselves, get ourselves ready. It means this: I'm thinking about God, I'm considering God, and I'm realizing God. And so when things come, when the storms come in my life, and I'm thinking about God and I'm considering Him, then now I'm preparing myself for God to show me something, to deal with me on something. It's not just trouble. I mean, listen, life without Christ is just trouble. With Christ, it's instruction. Maybe it's reproof. Maybe it's guidance. Maybe it's some. But all in all, it's wisdom is really what it's talking about. And so, but it's this. It's a choice from the beginning. Look there in chapter 1, verse 29. He says, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Those that do not fear the Lord, can I just say this? What the Bible says here is they hate knowledge. You know what it means to hate knowledge? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. No, no, no. I don't want to know. That's what it means. No, but you say this, hey, listen, if I want you to know this because this is what God says. You ever had somebody say, I don't want to know? Now, you ever had somebody, now lost people say that, but imagine when saved people come up and you're trying to, and God's trying to give you something, say, God, I don't really want to know. I'm Christian enough right here. Hey, but we do that at times. We find ourselves there at this kind of thing. Those that do not fear the Lord, though, this thing, do not want counsel from the Lord. They don't want it. They don't want it. So those that do not want counsel from the Lord here, they despise reproof. They despise it. Refusing to be instructed by the Lord is to despise yourself. Look at chapter 15 real quick. Chapter 15, verse 32. So what I'm saying is refusing to be instructed by the Lord is to despise your own self. Proverbs 15, verse 32. He said, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. When we have the fear of the Lord, we will accept instruction from God. What I'm saying is when we fear the Lord, we'll accept the instruction from God. Look at verse 33. We're in 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Understanding is listen. So then the beginning of the fear of the Lord is humility. I don't have all the answers. That's what it means. It really means this. I don't have all the answers, God. I don't have all the answers. Now, I know we'd say between me and God, I know that He knows more than me, right? But yet we kind of live like we know more than Him. And so this thing, if I'm going to really consider Him, if I'm going to fear Him, if I'm going to consider and think about God and let Him motivate how I live my life, if I'm going to choose to let Him, then I'm going to have to have some humility. It's only through humility that we will fear the Lord. So we get to our passage tonight. Now we're at our outline tonight. So Proverbs 16, right there, verse 5 and 6. Everyone that is proud in heart is abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So, number one there, pride. That's the blank there. Pride is opposed to fear of the Lord. So, pride is the opposite of fearing the Lord. You can't be full of pride and also fear of the Lord. You can't have them both. Either He is everything, or I am. That's really the way it is. Well, you know, maybe we can share it. Let's both have a hand on the wheel. If I got a hand on it at all, then it's not Him. Let me say it another way. If I think God needs my help, I'm in bad shape. Right? No, I'm in bad shape if I think God needs my help. I'm just helping God. Listen, can I just look at pride isn't just that next blank under there. A. It's not just ugly. It's an abomination to God. We might say it this way. It's disgusting is really what that. It's disgusting to the Lord. I mean, to the point of vomiting, and that's the kind of disgust. You disgust me. You ever said that to somebody? You disgust me? Probably not very often. You got to be pretty upset. Somebody's got to do something pretty bad. You disgust me. I mean, unless you're being funny, you know, you disgust me. Somebody eats something gross. No, I mean, to really be disgusted with something. I'm telling you, some of the things we see on the news and some of these beatings and people that are doing and this terrorist act, and I mean, that stuff is disgusting. I mean, it just, I'm going to be honest with you folks. I'm just telling you about me. I can't read it all. I can't look at those videos. I'll look at some because I want to, you know, verify, but I can't listen about women being treated the way, I just can't. It'll haunt me. I just can't. It's an abomination. It disgusts me. It upsets my stomach. I hate it. It's just, when you hear about these things, the things that, and I just, even now talking about some of those things again, I don't even want to know about it. I mean, we got to know about some things, but I don't want to dwell in that stuff and watch the news over and over and over and over. I just can't dwell. Listen, I'm saying, because it's disgusting. It's vile. That's what pride is to God. By the way, yours. Your pride and mine. That's what it is to God. And he says this, B, though hand, join in hand. Again, he says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That hand join in hand, it really means this. It means, number one, though there are others that will join with you. Right? Hey, listen, others, he said, hand in hand, say, we're going to go together. We think we're okay. Hey, I got somebody that agrees. Now, not you know, we're not necessarily physically hand in hand, but we're together on this thing. So since we're together, we're right. And God says, oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know. No, that ain't what God says at all. That ain't what He says at all. Instead, what He said, listen, they will tell you how good and worthy you are, right? Hey, how your way can prevail. Can I just say this? Just because somebody agrees with you doesn't make you right. It doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, you know what he says? You'll not go unpunished. I don't like punishment. I don't like punishment. When I was a little kid, I was raised by just my mom. And she had this cutting board. It was about this big. Had a handle. I was faster than her. when I was a little kid, she'd hit me with that thing, and I'd say, it didn't hurt. She said, oh, yeah. And then she'd get one hand, and she'd be going around in a circle trying to get, you know, I don't know. I probably should have, anyway, there's a lot of problems with that. But I'm just saying this. You know what I did? I hid the cutting board. Because I didn't like punishment. I was bad. I still don't like punishment. You know what I want to? You know what I do now? I try not to do anything that deserves punishment. You know how we can do that? Fear the Lord. Because my father is still watching. Now my mom is. I'm bigger than her now, and she doesn't. She's not going to hit me. She'd probably like to at times, anyhow. But my father. He said, listen. Listen, don't think just because somebody agrees with you, you're going to be unpunished. It's what he said. Listen, it doesn't work that way. Look here. Number two, we're into the inside there. The fear of the Lord that will cause the wise to turn away from doing evil. By mercy, verse 6, he says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Listen, we are by nature, we are by nature prone to think and do evil. So, by the way, that's what I say by nature, it's natural for you. Why is that little baby rotten from the core, from the beginning? What that kid? Nothing. Why? Who's been talking to that baby? No, we're just all born that way. We have that nature, the human nature. That's listen. It doesn't mean we always will, or even that the lost always will sin and be evil, be terrible. Doesn't mean we're going to be as evil as we could be, or doesn't mean the lost are good. I know some lost folks that are really, really nice people, good folks. As far as you know, moral and ethical and that type of thing. Not good as far as God says, but good, decent. Just because we're prone to be evil doesn't mean we are. But I'm just saying there's something in it. It does, see under there. But it does mean that the flesh is drawn to it. We're drawn to that thing. That's why there's going to be a joy in heaven that there's no more temptation. Right? No more. Can you even imagine what that... No. Can't even imagine what it's going to be like. There's no temptation. Not Satan. Not the world. Not even the flesh. Can you imagine being able to one day cut the old man loose for good? I can't imagine what that'd be like. Talk about freedom. Whew. Talk about freedom. Now, there was a freedom when my sins were forgiven. Right? My sins are forgiven. Whew. Wow, I don't have to be punished for that anymore. Right? But one day I'm going to be set free from that temptation. But right now I'm not. Right now there's a battle. I mean, the Apostle Paul, if he dealt with it, and he says there's a battle going on, if he dealt with it, said there's a battle going on in his life, you better believe you and I are struggling with that too. We're going to have that thing, and there's that deal. So then D, the fear of the Lord will cause us to depart from such behaviors, what he's saying. Now look over to Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So the fear of the Lord, see, hates evil. Hates it. I thought we're not supposed to hate anything. Right? Don't we say that? You're a Christian. You're not supposed to hate anything. Well, we're not supposed to hate it. We shouldn't hate anyone. But we should hate evil. Eschew evil. Right? You know what I mean? Amen? We should hate. Bible tells us we should hate evil. Right? By the way, lest we misunderstand this verse or use it inappropriately, the fear of the Lord hates evil in me. Ouch. You know what? You know what he's talking about here? I hate your evil. I hate it when you're evil. No. Here's what he's talking about. He hates the evil that's in me. Right? Primarily, foremost. You know, I'm because my fear of the Lord doesn't make me hate what other people do. It makes me hate what I would do. But otherwise, it's easier for me to hate what other people do. Right? Those terrible people. They're all just sinners. You know? I'm just glad I'm not like the heathen. You know, right? Right? Just glad I'm not like those, you know, and I tithe and I do all the things, right? This is what the Pharisee did. Listen, I'm telling you, the fear of the Lord causes me to hate evil that I would do. Primarily. I hate evil out there too, but it starts here. The Bible is written to me. It's written to you. Not written for me to judge you. It's written for me to judge me and then help you. Isn't that funny how that works? A lot of times what we want to do is we think the Bible is written for me to judge you so it can help me. But it's actually for me to get right with God so that I can be a help to someone else that needs to get right with God. So this, don't think the greatest thing you can do for God is to hate the sin of others. Do not think the greatest thing you can do for God is hate other people's sin. Don't think that way. Listen here. The list of evil, number two, is a list of the things that God abhors. They are an abomination. So, A, pride, always at the top of God's list. You notice that? Anytime He makes this kind of list of this kind of stuff, God just puts pride always up there. Pride is to spit in the face of God. Which that's a little bit too much. I don't think so. Pride says, God, you're no better than a piece of wood or a piece of stone. It's what pride does. It says, God, I'm going to put something else in your place. And God says, no, I'm the only one that belongs there. If anybody puts anything, even ourselves, up in there, God hates it. God hates it. Always at the top of God's list. And then the second thing he said there is arrogancy, which is the lifting ourselves up. It's to lift ourselves up, taking credit for what does not belong to me. Here's how arrogancy works. Yeah, I did that. Wow, something. That was me. I did that. You know, I want to take the credit. You say, well, you know, but I did do that thing. Well, did you give yourself breath? Did you give yourself power? Did you give yourself strength? Did you give yourself life? I don't think anybody else here, we can give that to ourselves. Here's what God says. What arrogancy is, this thing that we lift ourselves up. It's just to exalt ourselves. I'm just saying, God hates that stuff. It's gross. It's disgusting to God when we want to lift ourselves. Listen, let's not. This was something interesting when I went to Sri Lanka. What was very cultural is for them to tell about all their credentials. So you'd go up to somebody you're talking to and said, yeah, and they would start telling me, yeah, I did this, I got degrees in this, I got a certificate for that, and I know this person. And I'm just like, whoop-de-doo. You know, because our culture is kind of, American culture is kind of a little bit less than, it's kind of rude to, yeah, I'm really great. You know, we kind of, but for them it was about trying to say, you know, I'm worthy of something. And I remember hearing that, and I first started, I thought, this is weird to me. It was weird because it's also not a Christian culture. It's a Buddhist, a Hindu culture, and they have this, and they're trying to really show that they should earn their way to get to the next life. And I thought, man, it's so contrary. God is not interested. God is not interested in how great we are. We should not spend time talking about how. I'm not saying there's times. Well, can you? No, I've never done anything. We don't lie. I'm not saying that. But we ought not be ready to credential ourselves to others. Right? Well, let me tell you what I've done. Well, why don't you tell me what God's done? Amen? He hates arrogancy. And then the third thing there was the evil way. Really meaning the regular conduct of life. That's what he's talking about. See under there. It's this, the evil way is talking about not just doing evil acts, but living a life of evil. So, it's really having an evil spirit. When I mean an evil spirit, I'm not talking about a demon. I'm talking about our character, our spirit, our desire. You know, you ever seen people that are just grumpy all the time? Like they just wear grump. Look like they've been sucking on a lemon. You know what I mean? They just, like, what's wrong with you? You know, and they never have a smile. You think, like, if they smile, their teeth are going to fall out or something? You know what I mean? Just something. You see people, you're like, hey, how you doing? Fine. You know, you're like, we're in church. You know, I'm not talking about the world. Aren't you? You know, what's God done? I don't know. God's good. Man, I'll tell you, but I'm not talking about just that, but kind of living a life of sarcasm and meanness and hurtful and kind of cutting at people. And listen, just the whole evil way. Not just did something here and there, but just live like that. Folks, I'm just saying, listen, the fear of the Lord keeps us from living like that. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what, if you live like that, if you're living like that on a regular basis, this kind of chip on your shoulder, some like bitterness that just grinds in you, I'm telling you, if you live like that, you're not living in the fear of the Lord. Because the fear in the Lord caused us to depart from that evil way. That's what happens. And then the fourth thing he said there was the froward mouth. It's the speech opposed to truth, but also that which attempts to subvert people, using their speech to corrupt others, is really this thing. It's that froward mouth is talking about to really get this thing of corrupting people, corrupting their ways, corrupting them. You know, you ever heard this phrase? Misery loves... Yeah, I guess y'all heard that one before. Misery loves company. It does. I don't want to be alone in my misery, or in this sense, in my evil way. So you know what I want to do? I want folks to come join me. Come join me. And so you know what I might have to do to get you to join me? I'm going to have to maybe corrupt you a little bit, tell you something, and get you thinking this way and get you going this way. And then here we are, we're kind of going this together. And listen, he says, he's talking about the froward mouth. It's this thing of, it's untruth. Its purpose is to corrupt people. Listen, you know what? I always want my way. Don't you? You know, I always want my way. I hate it when you go up there to get some ice cream, and I don't know if they do that around here, but up there in Pennsylvania, they would make peanut butter soft serve. I'll tell you, that's exciting. If y'all never had it, you're like, yeah, whatever. No, I'm telling you, you eat that, you just want to live on it. You know what I mean? You can't live on it. But I would go to this place, we'd go get this ice cream, and I'd walk in there, I'm just tasting it. You know, I'm thinking about that peanut butter soft serve ice cream. Max ice cream place. I'd go in there, and I'd say, I want the... And I look over there, it's not on the machine. They had something else, they switched. I'm like, I'm leaving. And I did. I leave. I'm like, if you don't have it, I'm leaving. You know what? I want my way. I'm all about, listen, I'm all about wanting my way. We're all like that. You know, I hate when you go expect something and you know, you go to a restaurant and now we don't got that. I went to McDonald's and said, we don't have no coffee. How does McDonald's not have coffee in the morning? Why do y'all exist? No, I'm kidding. But what I'm saying is this, that doesn't mean I'm going to go and corrupt people to get my way. Right? We don't listen. God hates the froward mouth. He hates it. So then D, the fear of the Lord does not hate, watch this here, does not hate the consequence. Write that in your blank. D, the fear of the Lord does not hate the consequence of sin, but the sin itself. I don't just live for the Lord because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. That can I tell you, that doesn't work. It doesn't work to have a godly Christian. It doesn't work to have a good child, right? It doesn't work to have a good employee if all you're doing it for is so you don't get caught not doing it. No, it doesn't work. You'll see a kid, you'll see a kid, they're great. I've been around some Christian schools and some daycares and preschools and this thing. And the kid will be a good kid, and then the parent shows up and they turn into a little demon. You're like, what on earth happened? Well, you know what I'm saying? It's not like their heart was changed. They were doing it based on consequences. And man, I know when I'm with this teacher, if I don't do what I'm going to do, I'm going to get in trouble. But with mom, I can do whatever I want. Should be opposite, shouldn't it? We're in a different day and age, though. Listen, I'm just saying this. The fear of the Lord does not hate the consequences. It hates the sin. If you only fear, number one, if you only fear what will happen if you get caught in sin, that will not keep you from it. You know what we do? We measure the consequence. We do. We say, that's worth it. I had a preacher many years, my girls were little. And we're trying to do everything we could to try to figure out how to be Christian parents to raise our kids for the Lord. And we're trying, and we always, my wife and I spend a lot of time counseling one with another. What do we do? You know, how do we, these girls are terrible. They're the worst. No, we didn't say it. But like, what do we want to, you know, and I had this preacher come, and he had a survey, a course on parenting. And he said that one of the things he said, most parents don't spank their kids hard enough. He said, and I thought, man, I think I'm spanking very hard. They cry, and you know. And he said, most don't spank them hard enough. And so when a kid makes a decision, is the discipline worth it? And I said, all right, we're going to try this, man. I'm telling you, if there was, if we were taking percentages, I would say there's about a 30% obedience. You know, listen, But here's the problem. if you only fear what's going to happen when you get caught, it won't stop you. Because we'll say, you know what? We'll say, number one, I won't get caught. I won't get caught. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm doing it. You know, we got a really good way to keep that stuff private. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You could look up a lot of really bad stuff on these things, and you're pretty, I mean, it's right here. And, you know, somebody has to be, and now we got these screens, the glare, you can't see it from the side. I'm telling you, we could say this, I'm not going to get caught. Or we'll say, you know, I can deal with the consequences. Being afraid of the consequences is not enough. It's got to be the fear of the Lord. It's this, the fear of the Lord is not the fear of consequences. It is the fear of committing sin. God, would you help me to keep me from it? Right? Lord, would you deliver me from evil? Right? God, I need your help. I don't want to do that. It's the fear that God would observe me doing or speaking that which is evil. God, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to... Listen, if... We should be perfect on this thing, right? No. You ever done this? Let me just say this. When you do sin, my little children sin not. But when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, right? When you sin, you maybe blow up, you say something you shouldn't. You think wrong about somebody, you do this. If the first thing after you realize you did that is you go like this, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know what that is? That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord, that'll keep us from doing it. If our first thought after we realize that, or it takes us a long time to realize, is like, well, they deserved it. We're lacking that fear of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight with this lesson here in Proverbs, Lord, that we might really receive this wisdom that you have for us. Lord, it's your desire to impart this wisdom to us. And Lord, you want to give it to us liberally. And yet, Lord, we have to be prepared to even receive it. And Lord, you've shown us here, and we've seen as Solomon tried to give to his son, and same as, Lord, you've preserved it for us, that we might find that the beginning place, beginning of receiving this wisdom is to have the fear of the Lord. So I pray tonight that you would touch our hearts. Lord, would you speak to our hearts and put in us a desire to consider you. Lord, maybe tonight that would be our consideration, is our conviction, our thought. Am I considering you? I pray that you do a work in our hearts tonight. And